Hey there, Caleb Wojcik here, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I talk with Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Income about our new invention we just launched on Kickstarter called SwitchBot. We recorded this just a few days into the campaign after we had raised about $250,000 on Kickstarter. And in this episode, we talk about what's next for SwitchBot and some of the lessons we've learned working on a product for over a year before launching it and what's next. Let's jump right in. On this episode, I'm joined by Pat Flynn of Smart Passive Income. He's a podcaster. He's been podcasting for almost 10 years now. I first listened to your podcast 10 years ago when I was driving to and from my job at Boeing. Crazy to be sitting here with you now that we have an invention on Kickstarter that's raised hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Crushing it.
You've told your story a lot of times on other podcasts and things like that. I'd love to actually talk about this Kickstarter campaign that we've done together for SwitchPod,
yeah,
and some of the things we've learned already just being a couple days into the launch. But Pat, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, there's a lot of things I already know we would have done differently, but all things considered, we put a lot of prep work into this, a lot of planning, a little bit of our money, not like a few dollars, but, you know, significant amount, but not a ton. And it's paying off pretty well right now.
Just to update people at where we're at currently, just over 2.5 days ago, or almost 2.5 days ago, we launched a Kickstarter campaign for SwitchBot, for a tripod that we invented together. We developed it with the team over at Prouduct, which is a combination of the words proud and product, Prouduct. And we worked on it for 14, 15 months, I think, in private, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, about 6 months ago, we shared it publicly for the first time in person to people and on the internet with our trip to VidCon, and made a video about it and showed it to people.
But that was after we got a patent pending on it.
Yes.
And it wasn't like we were huddling every single day and talking about this. It was like we would have bursts of moments when we would be really focused on it, and then we wouldn't even talk about it or even think about it for the next 3 to 4 weeks because things were happening, and then there'd be another rush of things to decide and things to do, and we'd get a prototype in the mail and we'd come together and we'd be like, oh, this is cool, but this could be improved, and then dead time again. It's kind of just a really weird, interesting process.
Yeah, I think that was the first time where I've worked on something where it was like, hurry up and wait, because we would get a prototype. We would have a lot of feedback. We'd have a lot of comments to someone on our team, and then they would work on it, or it would have to be made and manufactured and shipped. And so I like saying we worked on it for 14 or 15 months is true. Like, that was the total amount of time, but we weren't full time on that. I would say until this month, until January 2019, I felt like SwitchBot became my full time thing, and definitely it became more of your time too. As we got the Kickstarter campaign ready, we did the imagery, the photos, the videos, we filmed stuff together. Then it became like, okay, I'm putting a lot of energy and effort into this, but inventing something, doing a physical product with prototyping just takes a long time. And I'm not used to that with the digital like product world that I've been a part of.
Yeah, I remember when I came out with my book. So my book is the only comparable thing that I can compare to what we've just done. The book, Will It Fly?, which took me a year and a half, around the same amount of time. And then it was boom, launch, all systems go, all hands on deck, crazy time. It feels very similar to that. But that was a book. Usually my products are online courses or ebooks or other things that are just much easier and much simpler to create and much easier to change and see rapid adjustments with and launch and test and iterate and launch and test and iterate. And during that time, you can even start to see money coming in. This whole time during this 15 months, like, oh, we owe another 2,000, we owe another 5,000, we owe this money, and then it's like,
we still don't even, off. Yeah.
Like, this might not even work at all.
Yeah, and even now, you know, like, the campaign is at, I don't know, you can read the counter.
$227,000.
No, that's not
$227,000.
Okay, I can't count right now. My mate.
It's been a long time.
It's been a lot
days.
Of numbers, a lot of updates with the numbers in the campaign, but fundraising $100,000 in less than 12 hours and 200,000, it was like 36 hours or so.
Yeah.
And just seeing it continue to spread online and people voting with their dollars to pre-order this,
sharing it,
this thing, just sharing it to, having people make videos about it that don't have one.
Yeah.
That are just like commentating about it.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
So knowing that we put a lot of money up front, tens of thousands of dollars, a lot of time and energy and effort, and now that it looks publicly like it's a success, we still don't have any money from this thing, and we don't know how much we're going to have to keep putting into it to make it. And so that's one of the most interesting things about this to me, is the unknown of how much is this actually going to cost? Are the productions of all the units that everyone buys, are they actually going to go smoothly? Are we going to ship them okay? Are we going to be able to not have any major flaws
in
it?
Or,
yeah.
I was talking to a friend the other day who has an e-commerce business, and he had gotten the products made and they were on a ship coming from another country to the US, and the stuff got lost at sea. There's just like 50,000 units of something were gone.
Jeez.
I didn't tell you that before, but that kind of stuff can apparently happen.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's like insurance, or I don't even know how that works, but there's a lot of things that could go wrong. So far, a lot of things have gone right. I'm expecting things to go wrong because I don't want to I just don't want to be surprised by it. And then I want to assess the situation and move on. And hopefully with the success of the Kickstarter campaign we have now, we can be better prepared for the next steps, which are the tooling and the manufacturing, the actual manufacturing of the products, and making sure that the ones that come off the line first are actually to our specifications and look good, work great. And then there's shipping and packaging and fulfillment. And, you know, do we put anything in the box? And, you know, what color is the foam around the box? I mean, there's just so many other things left.
Yeah. And I think people want to know the origin story of SwitchPod and that sort of thing, and like where we came up with it. And we definitely went really in depth on that in your podcast, episode 356 of Smart Passive Income Podcast. So I kind of want to talk a little bit just real time with maybe the week or so leading up to the campaign, and then kind of the response, and now, like, how does it affect our mindset of what this could become now that we're, you know, a few days after launching? So to me, in that first week leading up, I worked every day in January, like every single day.
You were busy. Jen was busy.
Yeah, we were almost every day taking photos or videos or something like that. And I had other stuff. Like, we were filming one of your courses and other YouTube videos, and your team was in town for a couple of days, and I had other client stuff that I was working on. So, I mean, it was just a hectic month to get everything done. But I think the biggest thing was all this work in private, like doing so much in private with no one knowing what you're doing. And instead of doing that and not posting anything on the internet to build buzz, I feel like this was the first time where I was working on something that I brought people along for the journey a little bit more, because Jen, my wife, was taking behind the scenes photo, or we just had a bunch of photos to share. Mm-hmm. Versus I have a hard time, like when I'm working on something, also documenting that I'm doing it, because I feel like it kind of takes me out of what I'm doing. Sure. I don't do what I'm doing very well. So even just doing an Instagram story or posting on social media, I just go dark for months sometimes because I'm just working. I'm just doing stuff. But it was fun this time to build buzz and actually show people that we were getting ready for this launch, for this date. And I think people liked that. I think people responded to
it. It got them super excited. It got them involved, and it got them invested in the process. And you know, that's what people want these days, are just the human side of things. Because we didn't share only good things. We shared like reality, what was happening. And like on my podcast, we got pretty deep with a lot of numbers and just a lot of the unknowns. And this is something that I think I've learned over time as a blogger who came into the space 10 years ago as somebody who was, I don't want to say I was the first to do it, but I was one of the first to start sharing more than what people were used to seeing. Meaning I used to share my income, and exactly how much money I was making and where it was all coming from. I still do, but now just on specific projects versus just my overall income. But people love to know what's going on and how things are going. I was also pretty adamant to share a lot of the failures. And I started to notice over time as I was writing and then as I was podcasting that the failures, although they weren't good, they were always a huge lesson for everybody following along. And so they kind of start to root for you a little bit more. And I think people across the past 15 months, as soon as we started mentioning that we were working on a project and it was kind of a secret, and then we started to reveal a little bit more and more and more over time, people began to root for us. And I think they want us to win, which is like we got them on our side, which is really cool. And I think it helps that we are personal brands as well. You've done a great job on your YouTube channel and myself on Smart Passive Income to not just be like, you know, DIY video guy and SPI, but like Pat Flynn and Caleb Wojcik. And I think people feel like we're their friends. So, you know, I've been getting, and I know you've been getting too, a lot of messages from people just, congrats, like I can't back this, but I'm so stoked for you. And because they're not videographers or they don't care for the product, but it's just so cool to see that kind of support. And I think that could only come by sharing the process along the way.
And I haven't launched something that's this ubiquitous. Like I've launched courses for my audience, or when I was a part of Fizzle and we were trying to help online entrepreneurs and things like that. The common person, and by common person I just mean like the general public or my friends and family that are outside of this internet bubble that we live in, don't get it, don't understand maybe that like I launch a course or how it actually does, yeah, or what I do for a living or filming videos, and they never see them. So it's like, I assume he does well or something, but this is the first time where...
Does it feel more real to you? Like it's an actual thing?
I think maybe because it's a tangible thing, but it's also something that like someone goes to the page, they get it. We invented something. We like show them how it works or how it's different. And it's just like a cool thing that people get. And the fact that it's been successful leads to people coming out of like the woodwork, I would say, at least on my end. Of I had a childhood friend text me this morning that I maybe talk to every few years. And he's like, dude, I saw the campaign, like, congrats.
Yeah.
I have one of my wife's best friends, Jen was a maid of honor in her wedding. She bought one and her mom bought one. Like that kind of thing where like, my friends that aren't in this internet bubble or don't make video or don't YouTube, like they're buying them because it's cool or it's unique or they want to support what we're doing. And that's just a cool thing to happen.
I think it does help that it is a physical product. As we were going through the past 15 months, I was very, very anti-physical product, to be honest. It's like, this is taking way too long. I've already spent so much money. I don't see any return. I don't even know if this is going to work or not. And now that it's launched, obviously I'm thinking otherwise. I'm actually thinking about version 2 of the SwitchPod. I'm thinking about other accessories. I'm thinking about other products for different niches. And now my mind's going crazy, but that's sort of the visionary in me and the entrepreneur. I think it also helped that not just that it's a cool product, but it was solving a problem that I think a lot of people didn't know they actually had. It was kind of a small, tiny friction in their life that they didn't realize was such a big pain until we kind of showed them that there was a better way to do something. Because, you know, our product, you know, directly kind of competes in a sense with the GorillaPod from Joby, which is an amazing tripod. It's flexible legs with ball joints, and it allows for maximum customization on your terrain and how you shoot. But vloggers, once vlogging became popular, began to take this thing that wasn't meant for vlogging and turn it into a tool that they could use. And it was just the best thing available, but there's too much in the hands and it's too difficult to open and then close again. So we were like, okay, we see this problem and you and I put our heads together. It's got to be a better way. Mm-hmm. And then here it is.
Yeah.
And it's proof that we landed on a better way that people really, really want. But the funniest part is like I'm now getting people commenting like finally, like I can finally get rid of this stupid GorillaPod and like have something that works. And it's like nobody ever like said that they had problems, but now they're stepping up and saying that because mm-hmm. there's now a solution.
Yeah. And so I think people are asking us like, oh, like what, how do you like launch a big campaign? And like, how do you do this and that? And it's like, part of me is like, well, you like do stuff for 8 to 10 years and grow a big audience, like doing something else. And some of them are going to be interested in whatever that thing is. And part of me is like, make a good product, or like make something that people go, oh yeah, or I get it.
Or why didn't I think of that?
That's yeah. my favorite one. Or something that is a small tweak on something that already exists that people are kind of modifying would be, that's a very specific thing to ours, but mm-hmm. something that is popular, does sell well, and doesn't do, it does a lot of things for a lot of people, but there's like a segment of people that use it that it's not perfect for. And that would be what I would say for this.
Yeah. Kind of like a Dyson vacuum. Like there were already vacuums and they mm-hmm. were doing the job, but Dyson was like, no, let's do this a little bit better. Let's make the ball at the bottom so it kind of
move
pivots
around
a little bit
easier.
Better.
Yeah.
Because that was the problem that everybody was having. It's still a vacuum.
Yeah.
This is still a tripod. It's just better.
Well, and even then, like going on to future Dyson things, now their vacuums are 100% cordless, I think, and they're lighter weight because vacuums are always like really heavy. Mm-hmm. And so
and they have fans now.
Yeah.
And they even have the hand dryers in the bathrooms at the mall.
So they're using their technologies to make new things.
Right.
And so I think that comes down to you and I do a lot of things to like run our business. And one of them was wanting to film ourselves or being around people that film themselves and seeing a frustration. And that's kind of where it came from. And so I think my advice to other people that are trying to make a product or just even run their business is solve problems, fix things for people, mm-hmm. help them with things. That's what people are willing to pay for. They're willing to make their life easier or
more convenient
or
less frustrating. Yeah.
Do something faster. Or that's why we just ordered food, because we're like doing something. We're going to pay somebody to bring us food so that when we're done recording, we can eat. And that's our current problem. And that is a friction that we're trying to smooth out.
Yeah.
And so like that kind of thing is how you make money. Like I can't clean my teeth very well. I pay a dentist. It's like those kinds of mm-hmm. problems and things you need help with.
I think a lot of it comes down to saving people time. You know, a lot of these things, the commonality is time, right? And you think about the app Uber, a lot of people go, well, Uber, that brings a car right to you. But in reality, you're just saving time. DoorDash or Uber Eats.
We used Uber Eats, not sponsored.
But. Okay, yeah. Same thing, you're saving time. And we built the tripod that you are all hearing about now, the SwitchPod, to save people time. And I think that if you can help save people time, that's a great place to start. So the biggest thing is to have conversations with people and see where they're spending most of their time. And then consider, well, can that be done a different way? Or can you learn that faster? Hence, information products. This just doesn't always have to be physical products.
That's true, yeah. Thinking about online courses in particular, like what I've learned about Adobe Premiere Pro or Final Cut Pro 10 that I have courses on, I learned that from scouring the internet or putting in a lot of time to click all the buttons and figure it out. And so what someone really wants from that course is, I could learn this, but please make it faster. Like, I want to learn this faster. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, speed is like a big thing. Like, we could go get food like we do sometimes. Like, I don't always get food delivered to me. Like, sometimes I go get it and I make
lazy.
It. Usually Jen facilitates dinner.
The food's
but. This is a speed thing right now. Like, we're trying to do some stuff. We're trying to film this podcast. We're trying to do other launch-related things. And it's a speed thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, thinking through, that was the main frustration with the product we were trying to compete against or, like, that people were currently using and we were trying to make a new version for them.
The coolest thing is, like, we were very sensitive with, like, not having a GorillaPod bashing campaign.
Okay, yeah, I'd love to talk about that.
Because we could have just gone, guys, check out this GorillaPod. It's terrible. It takes 55 seconds to set up.
Kind of go infomercial on it a little bit. Because usually in an infomercial, they show all the, like, problems with something. And personally, I know that would do well, but that's also just not the kind of business or marketing that I wanted to do.
It's not the kind of person I am or we are, it seems.
So I was really adamant. I know we got advice and people are saying, like, you have to show it against the other thing. And for me, at least to start the campaign in these first few days, I think there's only one photo or mention. We never mentioned Gorillapod by name because we just, I don't think we need to. I think the product can stand on its own.
That's what it is.
And there's one picture that shows the thickness of the Gorillapod against the SwitchPod just for scale, because people are looking at it online. They're like, how big is that thing? Actually, this is how big it is. It's next to the other product.
It's the height of a penny.
Yeah, it's the height of a penny.
Not the width of a penny.
Yeah. That would be maybe version two.
That's for the...
That's like thinner than an iPhone.
It's for the micro spy cameras.
Micro switch pod.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is now everybody else is doing that campaign for us.
That's an interesting thing, because people say things on the internet. I don't know if you know that. People say... in comments, or they'll make videos off of it and they'll say the marketing campaign, it's like they're saying it's a Gorillapod killer or RIP Gorillapod.
Yeah, we're not saying that.
And we're not saying these things, but
other people are doing.
And part of that is, I think comparison is strong. Like when I do a review of a camera or whatever, like comparing it to other cameras is what people want, because they're trying to make a buying decision. They're like, do I need this thing, or can I use the one I have, or which of these two things do I buy? So comparison is like a helpful way to talk about a product and to review it. And being controversial or saying like, hey, you have this thing, this new thing is better. Like that is going to help those videos get views, and that's going to help those people earn affiliate income and that sort of thing. So
did you expect that?
Partially, yeah. I think there are going to be videos that are SwitchPod versus Gorillapod shortly.
Oh, yeah. And there's shortcomings with the SwitchPod related to a lot of the great things about the Gorillapod, like the flexibility on unlevel ground, and the ball head is I love the Joby ball head, but it's a little too... It works on ours.
Yeah.
It works perfectly,
yeah,
actually.
And so, like, part of me wants to be like, this is a great product. Gorillapod, great. It's great for certain things. Like... uneven surfaces, wrapping around trees, like it can do some great things. And ours does some great things too. Own both. Like,
yeah,
depending on what you're using it for, own both. Like, take the ball head from the Gorillapod and put it on top of a SwitchPod, and then you have the ball head you want. And so I think that you can make things that kind of integrate into people's lives a little bit more.
I think a big problem that entrepreneurs have is we try to add everything that solves every problem into one product. I'm very familiar with many software companies who have tried to do that and have failed and have had to make adjustments because they do everything average. And then I've seen physical products do something, everything average. And maybe the Gorillapod is that. It's a decent of all those things, but it does all of them. So if you want all of them, great.
And one thing that's powerful about that is being so versatile as a product.
Your Swiss Army knife,
which can sell a lot. Like, Swiss Army knives sell a lot of units because they do a lot of things.
But is a Swiss Army knife the best scissor?
Or the best...
cork or knife,
like,
or saw.
Kitchen knife. Or,
have you ever tried to saw something with a Swiss Army knife?
It's so frustrating. Like, even a stick.
It
like,
just doesn't work very
when you're camping or something,
well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it does it, and it can help out, which is great. But we put our foot in the ground and said, okay, we know that we are... like, yes, wrapping around a tree is cool.
We aren't going to try to do that.
We're not going to do that. We're not building for that. And that way we can maximize the quality of the experience with the other things that we think this would be used more for.
Yeah. And those are decisions you have to make when you're like developing something, is like, what are we going to do and what are we not going to do? And I think that there were so many points along the path of making this, is like, is it going to do this or is it going to do this? Like, is it going to be quiet when it closes, or are the legs going to stay together? Because this one here, this silver one that we had, this one's quiet when it closes because we have like padding in between to soften it. But, you know, it doesn't have, I'm trying to get it in the mic. So it has padding in between here and it has padding here. So this is quiet. quieter. But then the legs don't stay together. So if you just grab one, that just falls. And so that's not necessarily what you want.
Yeah, that one pinched me.
This one pinched times. You because yeah. you get your fingers caught in it. So yeah. like we've tried to do all the things that people are giving comments
you should
about right now.
You should explore them.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, do we need it to bend? Do the legs need to get taller? Do we need to make our own ball head? The ball heads that are out there are great. We can put them right on top.
Right.
We don't want to be able to wrap around stuff. It doesn't matter if it's super silent to us. Function over some of the form things.
Right. And when you say we don't need it to wrap around, you mean like video creators don't need that for the target demographic and market that we're...
Yeah, it's like a percentage thing. So like...
Some people wrap it around.
Yeah, like if you are hiking on mountains or like you vlog in the forest and you like always are wrapping around trees or like you want it to do that, then maybe you need something that does that. But if you do that 1% of the time, or if you've done it a few times with the product, like the sawing something with a Swiss Army knife, mm-hmm. like if you're going to saw something, like get Dude. A saw.
Every time somebody talks about the bendy thing now, oh, well, it doesn't bend around trees. I'm going to be like, well, do you actually saw a tree with the Swiss Army knife that you own? Or I can come up with a better response, but like that's a perfect analogy.
Of like something that does everything or something that solves an individual problem. And I think that if you make something that is so specific that helps very specific people, those people find it. And I think that's part of why this has gone so well mm-hmm. is if we just tried to make something like everything else, like more of a copy of something and not something that was focused to a specific person and a specific use.
Yeah.
It would have been more vague. Like that's why things on Kickstarter that do really well are like a coat that warms you, like a smart coat or something. It's like you don't launch a coat on Kickstarter. It has to be different. It has to do something different. It has to be like a modification and a new kind of way that someone uses it. And so other than board games do amazingly well on Kickstarter.
We should do a board game. We should switch our whole business model.
Like mid-campaign, be like, we're now offering a board game.
Yeah, your bonus is a board game, and the three legs on the tripod are like your starting points, and mm-hmm. you have to...
This is all just a ploy so that Pat and I could have a board game.
Yes.
No.
It would be called Never Bored Board Game Company.
Never Bored Game.
Never, yeah.
Any other thing about the campaign and like the hardest part in the first few days of like when you do something, it becomes... successful or goes way better than you thought, that would be an interesting thing to hear. Because for me, I go to bed at like 10 if I'm up late. And I was up till 2 a.m. just like replying to people. Because normally I can get through my email and like Instagram and Twitter and like, and then I can like put my phone down and chill at nighttime. And that day was extremely overwhelming and still is. I like have a lot of unread emails and DMs and things like that. And I just wanted to like reply to everybody because there was all this energy and I wanted to mm-hmm. reciprocate.
And you did a great
that.
Job. And I was trying to keep up on my end. I went home and I started to answer more questions and I was getting a lot of personal emails from my audience and PR related things and other people. And you kind of have to weigh like, okay, which ones are important that I need to answer now? And there's like sometimes no way to know. The first day was really interesting. I was so happy that it went the way it did, not just because of the money that came in and the fact that we were fully funded, but what that actually means. Like, this means we get to build this. Mm-hmm. My worry was that we were not going to build this.
And we'd had debates about what should the funding goal be and if it's like if we were going to do 150 or 200, because that was really an internal goal of like, if we can get to 200 or so, then not only can we make it and break even, we'll have more inventory to keep selling. And so the fact that we're past that point is interesting and fun. But
right.
but the fact that we were like, no, let's set it a little lower, something that's attainable, because if it got to 140 and we set our goal at 150 and then we didn't get any of the money, because that's how the crowdfunding platforms work, is you have to reach your goal. At least that's how Kickstarter works. And so we lowered it to 100. Like, and that part of that's out of fear, like not thinking we can do it. But it's also an unknown of, I have no idea how this is going to do or resonate with people, because no one had paid a dollar to us yet. Just conversations, just excitement, right. Just followers and comments and tweets. It was like, until the first person put their dollar down and we got 10,000 funded in 20 minutes, it was like, okay, I think we would have been fine. Yeah. I think we could have done a higher goal, but it's also cool to reach a goal quickly. And now we can start thinking about the next steps.
Yeah, I mean, Kickstarter and marketing, I think it was smart that we went down to 100 specifically for the marketing of it. We can say we had a six-figure Kickstarter launch completely funded in one day. And that, like, not everybody can say that.
Yeah.
And that's a headline, right? But I'm excited about what's coming next, because now that we have 57 days left, 58 days left, the additional money that comes in means more opportunities for cooler things. And I'm already thinking about, and I know this is a problem, my wife would attest to this, I think about new things before this, before things right now are finished even. Mm-hmm. And I have to slow down. I think thankfully I've been doing a lot of meditation this year already, and it's allowing me to, in the mornings and in the evenings between all this craziness, to really focus in the present moment and just be super thankful and grateful and proud of everything, and just be present. And I think that I want to make sure it's not like my wedding day where it was just everything was happening so fast, and then at the end of the day, the only thing I remember from that day was like when me and April were just finally alone at the end of the wedding, because we were going table to table and all these pictures and stuff. We were shots. So exhausted. Too many shots, photography shots.
Yeah.
And then I remembered the day, and I want to be present during this whole period. And I still want to be forward thinking and excited about what could come out of this, though.
Should we have hired your wedding videographer to document this?
No, dude. We'll have to save that story for another day.
Your wedding video?
We paid him $500 off of Craigslist because we wanted the photography to be great, but we were like, oh, last minute, let's get a video. So we met this person, and you know, we paid him $500, and he came with like a handheld camera, like you might see at a family reunion from your uncle or something. And he was like the creepiest dude. But here's the craziest part. I guess we're telling the story now. We watched the video. After a couple weeks, we get it back. And it's not good quality at all. It's like home video quality because it's like a 8 whatever. But the craziest part was at the end when he was filming the party. He decided to go slow-mo. So we're dancing at the party, disco lights, slow-mo, people smiling, focused on me and April. But then here's the song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's like a funeral song.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I know. I was expecting to see like RIP, like in the some dates there, but it actually said something like Pat and April Flynn, and then the wedding date. So I was like, wait, like why does it sound like something just died?
That's a sad song to play in a wedding video, yeah, for sure.
It was really weird. So if you want great video at your wedding, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, you got a $500 video.
But I also got a $500 amazing story that is still being told 10 years later.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I wish that video was public so we could link to it, but I won't share it anywhere.
We have like so many Filipino aunties, because I'm half Filipino. My wife is Filipina. Like 3/4 of the video is, babies, you ready for baby when your baby's coming?
Oh, just everyone like, asking you to get pregnant?
Yeah, so when are you going to have a baby? Oh, jeez.
I don't even know where to go from there.
I don't know.
I think we're just excited about creating SwitchPods, hopefully giving them to wedding video people to do a better
seeing
job
it in
than
public,
yours.
Yeah. Seeing it in public. I'm so excited to see it in public from somebody I don't know, going up to that person and going, hey.
What is that?
Where'd you get that? I stole it. I don't know.
No, yeah, I think it'll be fun to go to conferences or go to events and have people using SwitchPods and that sort of thing. And I'm not going to be like, oh, I invented that, or, you know, be weird about
not
it.
Not ever? You're not going to ever do that?
No, I mean, if someone asks or like, wait, didn't you invent this? Or I don't know, that'd be something fun at some point. But I think I've never made a physical product before, so having them, there'll be milestones of like seeing someone using it that I don't know, seeing it in a store maybe mm-hmm. eventually or what have you, like those types of things.
I sat next to somebody at the airport or across from somebody who was reading Will It Fly, my book. And I had this like hour long.
Did you say anything?
No, I didn't. I didn't. And I don't know if she saw me or not, but I wanted to say, but I didn't want to be like, hey, I wrote that. But it, like, it was a surreal moment seeing it in real life like that in the wild.
Yeah. That I'm going to walk up to people and be like, I thought of that.
Switch pod? Nah, this is a knockoff.
That's another discussion another time.
It may happen.
Protecting your products and copyright and all of that kind of thing. But just excited for, I mean, it's been a couple days. Maybe we'll talk again on the podcast soon to just see where this thing goes. And I want to do a better job in general of just documenting and sharing the process of things in general, because I'm like a Polish person of like
Polish.
Well, I'm 50% Polish, but I also like to have things be polished I publish them is what I meant. And so showing like raw things of like, even the vlog we showed from launch day, editing it. And I was like, oh, you can see the cores behind my computer. And like, that's what I think about. Like, I care so much about
look for the cords.
I just care so much about like, if something's perfectly straight or if it's like everything's in its place. And so showing the behind the scenes, I love that. I love when I'm watching something and something they cut to the behind the scenes angle and I pause it because I want to see like, where do they put the lights? Like what cameras are they using? All that kind
and
of stuff.
And you're not giving anybody an
opportunity. I don't give that to people. Yeah. So I think sharing some of that, being open about things, if something happens with the Switch Pod manufacturing process and if something goes wrong, I want to be open and honest about it and share about it.
Well, we have to be with our backers or else we might get in trouble.
Right, exactly. So just staying on top of that, being transparent, I think. Even me going into comments of videos that have 20 views that are talking about SwitchPod or going really deep into Peter McKinnon's video and his comments and replying to what people are saying or critiquing about the video or saying like how we're doing something marketing-wise or that we're like shilling product and stuff like that and being like just like having a genuine conversation with people. Like some of the responses I've gotten from people on Twitter is like, dude, I'm gonna back your project now just because of like how you responded to my comment
or my video.
So I think just being a human and doing things that don't always make you the most money, like me going and commenting on people in YouTube is probably not the best way for this campaign to do really well, but just trying to be a person.
I mean, people want to connect with people these days, and there's a lot of big companies out there who you don't even know anybody's names who work there, yet you use their stuff every day. And we're trying to be regular people just like you who had an idea and we executed. We're all on the same team.
Mm-hmm. It is hard as a company, like as a brand, to be that. And so I think that's one of our advantages is we are two people that created this thing with help from a lot of other people and people helping make the product, manufacture it, share it with their audiences, all that kind of stuff. But that's part of like Kickstarter is like these people had an idea. They are making this thing. They actually need your help. They need your funding to make it. That's just a cool part of doing this, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm super thankful to be a part of this with you, and I couldn't have asked for a better, more hardworking partner. And I think we each have our own strengths to bring to the situation. And, you know, just so everybody knows, like you and Jen put the Kickstarter page together. I did not touch any of that. And that was a huge thing. And then certain influencer relationships kind of I started, but then we've kind of worked on this together. And so we each are bringing things to the table based on kind of our superpowers. I would have not been able to create a Kickstarter page like that. Like just, I would not have been able to do that. And you have your video superpowers, your photography superpowers, and I have a large audience and leveraging that. And I have connections and people who know people who know people. So I've been working those relationships.
Yeah, for sure. Like getting a chance to have a conversation with a certain person at a conference to help us just like talk through something or get feedback before we launch, or yeah, getting an introduction to an influencer. Those are like intangible things that are brought to the table too. Yeah. So it's just been fun to work with other people on this, internally with you and I and Jen and Tim on my team and the product people, Cole, T, Jace, Richie, mm-hmm. the four of them. And like, it's just been fun to work on something collaborative, because a lot of what I do is solo, and a lot of the work I do is I sit at my desk at home by myself and I do my work. And so it's fun to just do something collaborative and to share it and see such a response on the internet. And I'm excited to go to conferences and events and people like coming up and talking about the launch of SwitchPod and the congratulations and the campaign and things like that. Because we have like 2,300, 2,400 people that have voted with their dollars, which is
unreal. It's absolutely unreal. I'm excited to give back in some way. If you know, I'm already slated to speak at my son's school, and we're going to be talking about the SwitchPod and how the whole idea, because they're actually working on their own businesses too. And it, like, part of my happiness when we got funded was, yes, I can actually tell the kids that we actually are going to make this. And that's exciting. I'm excited for you and I to be on stages at some point to talk about this story and the journey and how big this company gets or how great the company is or whatever. I don't know. But I'm excited for the future.
Me too. And 57 and a half days to go on the campaign, and we'll see. We'll see how it ends up. I have no idea. There is this plugin for Kickstarter called Kick Tracker. It's a Google Chrome extension where it shows a chart on top of your Kickstarter page of where it thinks it's going to go. The last time I looked, maybe I'm just going to pull it up live here right now. It says 4.6 million is what we're trending towards.
It's going up.
The highest it's ever been was like 5 or 6 million.
Oh, okay.
But that still blows my mind. If we end up at 4.6 million, that is tens of thousands of SwitchPods.
Jeez. That's incredible. They better come off the line properly. That's all I'm thinking about right now.
We don't. Does anybody want to buy 20,000 flawed SwitchPods? Because that's what we have.
Dude,
they'll get lost at sea.
Or maybe we bury them just like the E.T.
cartridges
games,
for Atari. Yeah. And then 20, 30 years later, someone can go find them, do a documentary.
Make a story about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully it goes a little better than
No.
Well, thank you, Pat, for joining me on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of
course. Congrats on the new podcast, and I'm stoked for the future episodes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being here. And definitely go check out Smart Passive Income if you're looking to start a business online, start a podcast especially. There's a lot of great resources there. And our conversation on his show, Smart Passive Income Podcast 356, is where we talked about stuff before the launch, before it was going this well.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. That episode title should just be called We'll See, and this one's called, like, What Do We Do Now?
We have to eat now.
We have to eat now.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, man.
If you want to learn more about Pat, go to smartpassiveincome.com. It's a great podcast there, over 350 episodes deep. We have done a few podcast episodes over on that one before. The most recent one is episode 356 of the SPI podcast, where we recorded before the Kickstarter campaign launched. So definitely check that out. And if you want to check out more about SwitchPod, you can go to switchpod.co. If you're listening to this in February or March of 2019, the Kickstarter campaign page will be live and you can pre-order yours there. If you're listening to this after the fact, that's going to redirect you somewhere else, probably to some other place that you can pick up yours as well. I've been Caleb Wodrick. I'll see you in the next one. Cheers.